Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate that you listen to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and also leave us some feedback. Rate us. Give us a review. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoy.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Oregon State travels to Berkeley this weekend where they'll play Cal. We've seen Cal. They appear limited on offense, although I think they're getting a little better. They're coming off a bye week. This is Oregon State's second straight opponent that it'll play in conference play coming off a bye week. Will the Beavers get it done? Nick Daschle of the Oregonian and Oregon Live, he'll bring the heat. He'll be in Berkeley. When do you arrive in Berkeley?
I'm headed down there tomorrow so I can go see my oldest daughter, and then Saturday's the game.
I love this stadium there that's sort of tucked in the hillside, and you got just down the street, you have all the yahoos on street corners blowing bubbles and, you know, smelling like patchouli oil. I think it's a great scene.
It figures you'd like that.
I do like a little flavor.
It's between Cal and Boulder. Those are the two interesting stops in the Pac-12, I think.
As I go around the Pac-12 and I've been to all those cities, I often think to myself, like, if I could go back and pick a college now, you're right. I think Boulder would be near the top of the list. I also think Arizona State, even though it's really easy to get in there. I love the sunshine. I love Arizona State, too.
Yeah, I saw somebody put in one of the comments on Oregon Live put their ranking of you know, the Pac-12 schools 1 through 12, you know, what would be the best places to visit, and I want to say Boulder was right there at the top and Berkeley was too. I don't know what mine would be. I'd love to be on Oregon State's campus this time of year because the leaves turn in color and everything. It's really pretty. I don't know who I'd put at the bottom, but, you know, the top has to be, you know, Berkeley, Boulder, the Arizona schools, those types.
Livability.com ranked the top 10 college towns today. Corvallis is in the top 10. You think Oregon State's campus is better than Oregon's campus?
You're asking. yes, but I'm a little biased.
How so?
I went to school there, and I love that campus. But you know, it's just pretty this time of year. And in the spring, I mean, there's nothing better than sitting out in the quad by Memorial Union, you know, studying and pretty much, you know, watching people go by. It's just
watching girls is what you're saying. As a college kid, there was nothing better than sitting there watching the ladies walk by.
I'll let you say that. I mean, isn't that why you go to Arizona State, too?
I like the weather.
Well.
Me and Rich Rod.
Well, parts of the year.
Let me, Nick Daschle of the Oregonian, Oregon Live, you can read him there. You should follow him on Twitter. The mindset of this team, it got boat raced against Utah. It's feeling pretty good about itself, coming off a win. Can they bounce back? Let's just talk about their psyche. Is their psyche whole right now?
We'll find out. I mean, they last year they had several, you know, beat downs and they always came back the next week and played, you know, as well as they could play. You know, this is the first time that they've had to experience that this year. So, I mean, we won't know until Saturday, but they're talking, you know, they talk like, you know, they've kind of forgot Saturday and they've moved on, but, you know, again, we won't really know until Saturday. Now, you know, Cal isn't a team that's going to pound anybody, so I think that's going to give them a little bit of hope that, you know, regardless of, you know, what happens, they're not going to be out of it like they were last Saturday. So, I mean, Cal hasn't scored, I believe 28 is their season high, and they have a 27, but I think they're averaging 20 points a game. So, and they have a UC Davis on their schedule, and they didn't run away from them either. So, I don't know why Oregon State wouldn't go to this game feeling pretty good about it.
Nick Daschle of the Oregonian covers the Beavers. He's with us. Going into the last week's game, physicality became an issue. The health of this Oregon State team, any significant injuries last week?
There wasn't any that came out of the Utah game. Now, you know, we're still waiting to hear with Jamar Jefferson what his status is. I don't know if that's a huge deal because Artavis Pierce has done pretty well. I mean, we know about the news about Omar Hicks Onu leaving the team this week, but that's another one I don't know is that significant because he was falling down the depth chart. Avery Roberts is supposed to return. That's a big return to the lineup. Excuse me. He didn't play against Utah, and he'd been kind of a rock in the middle of the field for him. Other than that, I don't think Nathan Eldridge will be back. He would help a little bit at center, but yeah, there's nothing significant one way or the other for Cal.
I know last week they didn't have Avery Roberts. They also were shorthanded in some other ways. I know before the game you were kind of going, uh-oh. You kind of saw that coming. Was that intentional? Did Oregon State sit those guys down going, look, we need them for the long haul. There's no use in playing them a little banged up against Utah. Let's get them healthy.
Well, in Roberts' case, they didn't have a choice. I mean, he's in concussion protocol. But Jefferson, just he has one of these, you know, he got his ankle hurt a little bit in Hawaii, and it's just been slow to heal. He's tried to play a couple times. It just hasn't gone right for him, and there's no reason to push him with Pierce. But, yeah, I think with Jefferson, and I asked Jonathan about this on Monday, that, you know, why not sit him for Cal, take next week off because they don't play, and get him ready for November when they got five games. And, you know, it wasn't like I was breaking news to him or anything. He's thought of the same thing. And he said that they've talked about it. And I don't think they're going to push him out there Saturday unless he's ready to go.
We're talking to Nick Daschle of the Oregonian, Oregon Live. How do these teams match up? Let's look at, you know, Cal's defense against Oregon State's offense first. How does that matchup line up for you?
Well, Oregon State talked a lot this week about the fact that Cal's defense schematically looks a lot like Oregon State. So they feel pretty good from that standpoint in that Cal's not going to throw a lot of surprises at them. Now, the players on Cal's side of the ball do it a little better, at least to this point. So, you know, I don't think they're going to be really surprised at what they're going to – the Oregon State's offense is going to be real surprised at what they see. Now, the big plays, Cal has just not given up big plays this year. So, and Oregon State is kind of – they've kind of feasted on those a little bit with Hodgins and a few of the other guys. So, you know, if they've got to go the long field several times against Cal, that could be a problem. But on the other side, I mean, Cal just doesn't – they just don't offer much. And they don't throw the ball down the field. You know, the I'm sure they're going to run Brown a lot and see what they can get there because last year they got going pretty good at Oregon State with their running game and ran away from them in the second half just with a running game. So that's what – go ahead.
When you look at Oregon State's defense, I think it was hard to tell – against Utah if they had taken a step forward or just a step back or did they just get blown off the ball. I kind of think it was the third thing. Size-wise, is Cal physically imposing or as a defense, is it really just that really good secondary and Evan Weaver running back there tackling anything that runs by him?
That's pretty much it. I don't. They're not going to run in any team like Utah. I mean, you saw them. They were enormous. That's just not a team you're going to run into much. Cal's really experienced in the back end. I believe they have, I think they're four in the back end of like 94 career starts. So, you know, they're experienced and they know what to do. And Weaver, I mean, you saw him play against Oregon. Oregon was the first team to really kind of neutralize him, but you know, he's just been a playmaker as good as anybody in the country. So those two, the back end and Weaver, are going to be what Oregon State's going to have to deal with.
I thought Oregon did a really good job of running at him. Like a lot of people run away from him. He gets off blocks and he chases plays down. But I thought Oregon, I saw him, tied up at the line of scrimmage and them going at him a little more. I'm sure Oregon State will use that. What would another win in conference play do for this program's momentum?
Oh, I think it puts them ahead of schedule, really, because You know, if you get to that third win, then you feel like, okay, we're better than last year. And then you got the whole month of November to really improve on it. So if you could win, this game going into a bye week, then you got to feel pretty good about the month of November with a few opportunities coming up.
Nick Daschle of the Oregonian, your pick for the game. You've been very good picking these games. Now a lot of people with the Oregon Lottery's sports wagering website launched or waiting for you to pick this game. How do you see Oregon State and Cal?
Can you can't bet on college, can you? Or can
you? You can't. Yeah, you're right. That's a bummer.
But I'll still pick Cal.
Still, they've got the app.
Cal 27-20.
27-20, says Nick Daschle.
For your illegal betting people that listen.
For those of you familiar with Bitcoin, Nick Daschle has made his pick.
What's your pick?
I think it's really going to be close. I don't know that Oregon State can score more than about 21 in this game. I think you're right there. I think it all depends on Cal on the offensive side of the ball. And I think Oregon State, I think this is like a 24-21, 20-17. It's got that written all over it. If Oregon State wins the game, it's like 21-17, something like that. If Oregon State loses this game, it's 24-20. How about that?
Yeah, I mean, it could be. I don't think Cal scored more than 30, but it's possible Oregon State might get next nothing, too, just based on what Cal's done defensively. So, I mean, there is a possibility for like a 30-7 type game, too. But I think it's going to be fairly close. And I don't see Oregon State, you know, winning by more than a field goal to 7 points if they happen to win.
I'll say this. If Oregon State has 14 points at halftime, they win the game.
That's possible. I mean, they got to start showing up for both halves, though. For an offense that's been as good as they have, they've had a lot of empty halves this year, more than they should.
You hear Jonathan Smith yesterday on the show talking about he's leaning towards taking the ball if he wins the toss. I think he's listening to you.
I don't think Jonathan listens to a whole lot I have to say, but we do spar a little bit, but. I don't understand that thought when your offense is clearly the better side of the ball. Why wouldn't you? You know, his thesis is, well, it gives us an extra possession in the second half, and I'm thinking, well, how about the extra possession in the first half and taking it to them early and making put them on the defensive? But you know, he's the coach. I'm not. I just write.
You know what I like about you? You went to Oregon State. You cover Oregon State, but I think what you do best of all is you question Oregon State. You're not a homer at all, and I was surprised. I only learned like a few weeks ago that you went to Oregon State because I thought, oh, this guy, he's very critical of Oregon State. Like, and I think that's great. I think do your old college roommates go, hey, Daschle, how come you don't just be a total rah-rah homer for this team?
No, they never do. They just like the information, I guess. I don't know. It's funny though. I have people that ask me if I'm a Husky or if I'm a Duck, and I'm just going, you know. So it makes you feel good that people don't really know where you're from unless you actually tell them. I'm sure you get the same thing though.
People just think I hate everything.
Well, and you do kind of. No, I'm just kidding.
All right, Daschle, go to Cal. Have good memories. Take a photo of the stadium for us. Tweet it out.
Have fun at Husky Stadium.
I'll be there. Dick Daschle of the Oregonian. Yeah, people think, somebody asked me today. They're like, how come you hate Oregon State? I said, I don't hate Oregon State. Oregon State's lost a bunch of games. What am I supposed to say when they lose 52-7? Then it'll be tomorrow. It'll be somebody go, you're such an Oregon hater. My favorite one on social media is when somebody goes, we all know who you're rooting for. And I'm like, do tell. Which team? Here's my dream scenario. My dream scenario is Oregon is really good. Oregon State is good. And the Civil War game is for the Rose Bowl. And that happened in 2009. It's happened a couple times. I love when that's the case. And I frankly think if they met again for the right to go to the Rose Bowl, I would probably lean towards like, hey, it's Oregon State's turn. But when the stakes are that big, and one of these teams is going to go to the Rose Bowl, like there's interest on both sides. Like, again, I'll say it again. This radio show, not home of the Beavers, not home of the Ducks, not even home of the Blazers. I just say it's home of the truth. And I sleep well saying that because I don't have to suck up to one or the other coaches, whatever. And I'll be honest with you. I'll give you a little of that inside sports journalism insight. A few weeks ago, I was super critical of Oregon's offense, right? I was talking about Oregon's offense. I've been critical of it. There have been times of the season where I've been really critical of Oregon State. And I got to tell you, I have had conversations, private conversations off air with both head coaches about things we disagreed on. I talked to Jonathan Smith about his punishment of the player, Gus Lavaca, after the Hawaii game. About 9 o'clock at night on a weeknight, we're talking about why we disagree on it. And I appreciate that I can have that discussion with him because it was a healthy discussion about, here's what I see. Here's what I think you got wrong. Okay, I see where you're coming from. Here's what I think. And we at the end, we agree to disagree. It's just sports. It's not war. It's not politics. It's not China. And then Mario Cristobal, likewise. I was at the Oregon State game, I can't remember who they were playing. Oregon State game at home a couple of weeks ago, Stanford game. Oregon State Stanford game. Oregon's on a bye. Halftime of that game, my phone rings. It's Mario Cristobal. We have a conversation about how critical I was of Oregon's offense like the prior week. Because I said they're boring, they're no fun to watch, they played Stanford. Now, Stanford had come out, and Oregon State and Stanford game was on, and so Cristobal, we have this discussion. It was a healthy discussion. He wasn't mad. He was just like, hey, I disagree with you. And I said, well, here's what I see. I got to be honest with you. I'm bored during your games, and here's why. And by the way, it's not personal. I don't hate you guys. I love that you come on, but this is what I say, and I got to be honest with what I say. You're never going to get that on the home of the Ducks. You're never going to get that on the home of the Beavers, and you're not going to get me calling out the Blazers. If you know the home of the Blazers is never going to do that. They're just like, let's get the pom-poms out and go. That's why the station you're listening to needs to be the station that you listen to. You're in the right place because you're going to get it straight. And when I tell you your teams are great, it's really because I believe your teams are great, not just because I'm sucking up to you. All right, leave it here. Pac-12 thinks it's a really good idea to go to China. Pac-12 is, for the fifth straight year, going to take a contingent over to China. It'll be Colorado and Arizona State's men's basketball teams. In November, they'll go to Shanghai, where they will play an exhibition game. It is sponsored by Alibaba, also the Chinese Federation of Sports. They are paying all the costs. They're bringing the Pac-12 teams over there. Why? Because China loves basketball. And the NBA is dead to China. So the Pac-12 views that as a opportunity to bring its game to China, where, by the way, Alibaba currently holds the broadcast rights. 1.4 billion Chinese. That's the population. You don't get a sense of how big China is until you look at sort of the population of cities and how many cities of 10 million plus China has as a country. It's remarkable to me. And I didn't know that really until I went there. And I saw how big Beijing was. And then I looked around and I went, oh, Beijing at 22.5 million population is more than double New York City. And by the way, Beijing is the fourth largest city in China. Shanghai's second at 36 million. But you're talking about 1.4 billion. We have like 340 million in our country. So they're more than a billion bigger than us. I get why businesses want to go there. I get why the sneaker companies have gone there. I get why tech companies have gone there. I get why the sports leagues want to go there. There's interest. There's new consumers. There's eyeballs. There's money to be made. I'm just not sure that what we've seen out of China in the last few weeks in this NBA thing lines up with the core values of the universities in the Pac-12 conference. Free speech, not a thing anymore over there. Probably wasn't ever. But the chancellor at Arizona State, Philip DeStefano, gave a statement yesterday in which he said, hey, feel like our athletes will be educated and they'll get a chance to see another city in the world. And I think that's great. I just worry that, you know, we saw, what was it, 2 years ago or last year, the players from UCLA who shoplifted, entitled Americans go to China and shoplift, they were facing 10 years in prison. Now you've got the NBA problem. I just worry that the Pac-12 conference, which isn't doing a very good job here at home, is getting itself in trouble overseas. All right. Our big splash will come up. Let's do it in the 1 o'clock hour. We've got Bruce Barnum, Portland State football coach, up next. I was supposed to do the big splash there, but I was on a rant about the Pac-12. Bruce Barnum is up next. Softy coming up later in the show as well from KJR in Seattle. Oh, Softy. I wonder if he has a new TV. Is Oregon going to dash his dreams? What does he have to say about Oregon's uniform combination? I'll ask Softy all those things coming up. I want you to leave it right here, statewide, on the Bald-Faced Truth Radio Network. I appreciate
it. We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald-Faced Truth.
Sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald-Faced Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald-Faced Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.